Dr. T.I. Vanderpool stands among the great preachers of Nazarene history. He served the Church of the Nazarene as evangelist, pastor, district, and general superintendent. He loved to tell of his early days as evangelist in schoolhouse revivals in eastern Colorado. His common touch preaching style always included stories from life that his hearers received with appreciation. Dr. Vanderpool served as pastor of Denver First, Pasadena Berzee, and Walla Walla, Washington churches. He served as superintendent of the Colorado and Northwest districts. He served as general superintendent from 1949 until 1964. This message, entitled "The Holy Spirit, Heaven's Ambassador," was preached at the Arizona District Camp Meeting sometime in the middle 60s. The scriptural background is John 16, 5 through 14. The text is found in verse 7. "Nevertheless, I tell you a truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you."
I wanted to talk to you a little while this morning about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is heaven's ambassador. He came to take over the special direction and guidance of the church. The Holy Spirit is here to represent the homeland. Jesus said, "It's expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, he'll not come." It seems kind of strange how Jesus would say, "It's better for you, it's profitable for you that I go away." What could be better than having Jesus with you? And Jesus said that it would be better for us if the Holy Spirit came. Jesus was handicapped when he was here on earth. His fleshly body localized him. He was yonder on the mountaintop with three disciples. They were having a wonderful time. They wanted to stay up there. What a time they were having. But down in the valley, there were nine other fellows that they were having a rough time. They were trying to heal a boy, and they couldn't do it. The crowd stood around and made fun of them. And nine of the fellows were having a rough time, and three of them were having a wonderful time. But finally, when Jesus came down from the mountain into the valley where these boys were, he spoke the word, and their troubles were at an end. The boy was wonderfully healed. Jesus couldn't be on the mountain and in the valley at the same time. But the Holy Spirit can. Well, the Holy Spirit can be with us wherever we are. He can be with our missionaries in Africa. He can be with us as we battle and struggle with our problems here in this part of the country. He can be with the man in the field. He can be with the man yonder in his office. The Holy Spirit can be with all of us all the time, anywhere. Jesus said, "It's better for you for me to go away and have the Holy Spirit come." The Holy Spirit is in this world to help all of us. I say he's heaven's ambassador. And I think about the work of an ambassador. It's marvelous how the Holy Spirit is heaven's ambassador here in the world, looking after the citizens of heaven that walk the dirt roads of earth. He's here to help me to get my name enrolled in the Lamb's Book of Life and get everything all fixed up until it's a full proof that I'm a citizen of that better country. Holy Spirit is in the world as heaven's ambassador to help us in all of our problems. There are four things that the Holy Spirit does especially. Many things, but he does, but I want to call attention to four things that he is in the world to do. Jesus said he'll take the things of mine and reveal them unto you. The Holy Spirit is in the world to reveal things to us. He's the only one that can reveal the character and the consequences of sin. We can't see that, and we don't sense that, and we don't realize the character and the consequences of sin until the Holy Spirit turns the light on it and lets us see it. The Holy Spirit is in the world to reveal the character and the consequences of sin, the condition of the human heart. He not only is a revealer of those things, but he comes to reveal Christ to us. I heard a preacher say one time, "We can know Jesus Christ just as well as we can know George Washington or Abraham Lincoln. Well, I sat there and I thought, well, say, I'm getting up in my teens, but I don't know George Washington. I don't know Abraham Lincoln. But I do know Jesus. How is it that I can know Jesus when I don't know George Washington and I don't know Abraham Lincoln? How can I? It's by revelation. The Spirit of God is in the world today to lift Christ up out of the Scripture, lift him up out of history, and bring him clear and plain before your mind and before your heart until you recognize and realize that Christ has been revealed to your own heart until you know him. He's in the world as a regenerator. He's a life giver. He takes that dead, dormant soul. He takes that individual that's dead in trespasses and in sins. And the Holy Spirit will quicken that individual and give them new life. Quicken that old dead soul. Give new life to that individual. Make a brand new creature out of that man. It takes the Spirit of God to do that. The book says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. It's a wonderful thing for a man to be genuinely converted and come out into this new life. It's the Spirit of God that'll help that man and reveal Christ to that man as his personal Savior, and that fellow can realize that the Holy Spirit has come, that Christ is real in his heart. Years ago, I held a meeting. The fellow sat in the back end of the schoolhouse. When I get through preaching, he'd get up and argue with me. Wasn't anything I could do about it. I'd have to wait until the next night, and then I'd lay him out. But he came night after night. But one night he didn't come. And when I finished preaching, a 14-year-old boy was at the altar. Several were at the altar, but this 14-year-old boy appealed to me. I came along and I said to him, son, what are you seeking? Oh, he said, I want to be saved. I want Jesus to save me. Somebody came along and called him by name, and I recognized that this boy was the son of that man who'd been standing up in the back end of the building arguing with me every night. The boy prayed through and got gloriously converted. And I said to him, Carl, would you like to do me a real favor? He said, yes, I would. I said, would you like to do your daddy a real favor? He said, yes. Would you like to do something for Jesus? He said, yes. I said, tonight, when you go home, go in where your father is, wake him up if he's asleep, and tell him that over at the service tonight, you got gloriously converted, that Christ forgave your sins, and that you're a happy boy. I said, would you do that? He said, I sure will. Three or four nights later, I saw that man come into the building. He sat down in the back of the building. Just one look at him, I knew that God was dealing with that fella. And when I called to the altar, he got up, that fella got up, made his way to the altar, and we prayed with him and prayed for him, and he cried. And I knew he had been guilty of several things, and I kind of brought that up to him to find out if he'd straighten it out and fix it up. I thought it'd just well give him a good working over while I had him there. And finally he just threw up his hands. He said, oh God, I'll do anything. And the Lord saved him. What had happened? All things had passed away. All things had become new. Holy Spirit's in the world to regenerate people, to give them new life. That's part of his business. But he's not in the world only as a regenerator. He's in the world as a renovator. He wants to purge and cleanse. He's a cleansing agent. He's a purging agent. He's a renovator to take out the chaff from the human nature, to cure that double-minded condition that a man who gets converted, genuinely converted, he always senses that he has a warring in his nature. He always finds something down in there that he'd like to get rid of. Something down in there that he loathes and he hates. If he can reach in there with his fingers and pluck it out, he'd do it. No difference how much pain it would cause him. The Holy Spirit is in the world to purge and to cleanse that individual. Not only to give him new life, regenerate him, but he's in the world as a renovator. John the Baptist said, talking to his own converts. He said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but there cometh one after me whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand. He got the wheat into the garner, but the chaff he'll burn with unquenchable fire. The Holy Spirit has a burning, cleansing, purging, chaff-removing experience that he wants every man and every woman that's been genuinely converted, he wants them to have that beautiful experience of heart cleansing. He's in the world as a renovator. He's in the world to burn the chaff and purify the heart. But he's not only in the world as a revelator, a regenerator, and a renovator. But in closing, I want to say to you that he's in the world and he wants to be life's regulator. He'd like to sit at the controls of your life, regulate your life. I believe he has a plan for everyone that's here today. He has life's blueprint. He wants to set the pace and chart the course for your life. He wants to sit at the controls. I heard the other day a fellow say that to be filled with the Spirit, he said, that's not like having gas put in the tank. He said, that's having a new driver at the wheel. And that's exactly what it is. When we're filled with the Spirit, there's a new driver at the wheel. Life's whole program is turned over to him for him to change it and work it over. And he becomes life's regulator. It's a marvel how people make mistakes and how they fail. But if they'd let the Holy Spirit have his way and give them guidance, they could make a wonderful success in life and be victorious in their living. I believe the Holy Spirit is able to salvage lives that are pretty badly wrecked. A fellow that made a choice 10 years ago and missed it. The Holy Spirit can help that fellow to back up. Help that fellow to change his course. Help that fellow to turn his whole life over to the Spirit. And it's marvelous how God can help that man. He made a mistake. I remember I was a small boy. I guess I was about 9 years old. My father worked in an axe handle factory, and it was my job to take him his dinner, lunchtime. I went in one day, and there's a fellow, young man that worked with my father. The young man said, "Son, do you have a good ball bat?" I said, "No, I don't." And then he asked me a silly question. He said, "Would you like to have one?" Whoever heard of an American boy that wouldn't like to have a good ball bat? I said, "Yes, I would." He walked over there to the side of that building, and there was two or three cords of hickory wood. They're corded up against the wall. And he picked up these sticks, and we get to look at them, turn them over, check them, to see whether they were heart stick or bark stick, whether they're tough or brittle. Finally, he picked up one and hefted it, looked at it, turned. He said, "This will make a good one." He went right over there and he laid it down, put it down there. I took the bucket and went on home. They came back the next day, of course, boy, like I looked for my ball bat. I thought it'd be over there in the corner, and I looked around the corner. Didn't see it anywhere. And there it was, lying right where he put it down the day before. The shavings on it now. The sawdust on it now. I didn't say anything, went on back home. Next day came, of course I was looking for that ball bat. There it is, more shavings on it, more sawdust on it. And I thought to myself, I don't believe he's going to do it. He said he'd make me one, but I don't believe he's going to do it. So I just picked up the stick and I walked over to the young fella and I said, "Sir, you wouldn't mind it if I took this stick home and made my own ball bat, would you?" And he kind of grinned, and he said, no, he said, you can have it. I took that bucket and that stick and headed for home, went through the kitchen. While Grandma's back was turned, I borrowed her butcher knife and went on to the woodshed and started to whittle on that hickory stick to make me a ball bat. Well, you know, it didn't take me long till I decided that was a bigger job than I wanted. And I remember that Grandma had a little hatchet, a little sharp hand axe. I went in the house and I said, Grandma, I want to borrow your hand axe. I want to borrow your hatchet. She said, no, you can't have it. You can't have it. She'd take it out, break the handle out of it, make it all up, leave it out, somebody steal it. No, you can't have it. But I said, Grandma, I want to borrow it. She said, what do you want to borrow it for? I said, I want to make a ball bat. So she let me have it. I went out and I took that hatchet and I hammered and I chopped and I hit that hickory stick and knocked the bark off of it and splintered it up, and I wasn't doing too good. And I happened to think about it, that Dad had a double-bitted axe over on the other side of the woodshed. He had it way up here high so the boys couldn't get to it. I went around there and I piled up boxes and piled up boxes and climbed on top of the top box and reached up and got that big heavy axe and came on down and went around and laid that stick down and began to chop with that chopping axe. I just bring it up and let it fall, and I cut great gashes in that stick, and I looked at it. There it was, great deep gashes. I said to myself, I've ruined it. I've ruined it. And went over there against the wall and sat down and cried. I said, I've ruined it. He said it would make a good ball bat. But I've cut it with a butcher knife and I've chopped it with a hatchet, and now I've chopped it with this big axe. I've ruined it. No good in it at all. When I started to go back with the lunch, I said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to take it back. I picked up that stick and pulled the chips and splinters off of it the best I could and put it behind my back and went back with the lunch. I went in to give Daddy's lunch. This young fellow was just eating his sandwich. And I walked over to him, and I was awfully ashamed. But I brought that stick around. I said, I didn't do a very good job of it. And he smiled and said, let me have it. And I gave it to him. He didn't finish eating his sandwich. He went right over there and put that stick, his lathe, started the thing to whirling, picked up his wood chisel, began to move along, and the chips began to fly. And began to look a little bit like a ball bat. He went deeper and deeper, and I said, I believe he's going to get something good out of it. I believe he's going to get something out of it after all. And he never did stop until he picked up a beautiful ball bat, went over to a sander, sander smoothed it all up, went over here and put paraffin on it, went over here and turned on a brush, put a wonderful polish on that ball bat, brought it to me, handed it to me. I looked at it. There it was, a thing of beauty. I was so happy, headed for home, a happy boy. You say, Brother Van, boy, you tell us a story like that. Because back down there a long time ago, you had something in your life that was beautiful. You could make a wonderful success, but you got in a hurry, and you didn't wait, and you didn't give God a chance to help you. You leaned on your own understanding. You didn't wait for the Spirit to guide you or to help you. And you begin to whittle on your life. First was the butcher knife, then the hand axe. And some of you have been chopping with a great big old chopping axe until your life is all chopped up. I have good news for you. If you bring it back, the Holy Spirit can help you.